Everyone enjoy their cold ride in? Well, I do have to say it's cold, but this is the beautiful day that the Lord has made for us. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. A few announcements up here this morning. The first one is we have a United Methodist Women meeting this coming Tuesday, 2:30 here at the church. All women are welcome. Please sign up for altar flowers. There's a sign-up sheet on the clipboard in the narthex, and especially at this cold time of year as we're waiting for spring, it is beautiful to see the Lord's handwork in some beautiful flowers. Gives us hope that spring is coming. We'd like to lift up Bob Downing in prayer and also Karen, and we thank you, Karen, for the wonderful care and support that you give to Bob. And Bob, we know you're out there listening. We miss you, and we are all joined in prayer for your good health and your return to be amongst us. Lastly, I have an announcement here. There will be a short meeting for all of us liturgists, worship leaders, on Sunday, February 3rd, right here, right after service. And it will just be a short informational meeting. Also, I am asking for people to sign up for February and March. Anyone that would like to be a liturgist is certainly welcome. I'd like to see a few more of you gentlemen. You all seem to be microphone shy, I guess. But anyways, you can see Pastor Sue, you can call the office, you can call me. So thank you very much. We've got a district training day coming up. Moving Forward Together, and this is going to be Saturday, February 9th, 2019, at Trinity United Methodist Church. That's on North Main in Lapeer. There's two sessions, one from 9 to 10, and then there's another one from 10:15 to 11:15 a.m. There's a lunch, 11:30 to 12:30, and a worship service to follow, 12:30 to 2 p.m., need to be there. Registration is like 8:30 to 9 a.m., and we do need to sign up for that. So if you would just get a hold of Pastor Sue here at the office or when you see her, and we've got a form here. We're going to include everybody on, and like to get a nice group together. Really like to encourage the leadership here of the church, the lay servants, and, of course, anybody else that would like to come is welcome to come. Okay, we've got an announcement. I'd like to ask Suzanne Hickson, please, to come forward.
Good morning. We are few in number, but I'm vertically challenged. We are few in number, but strong at heart. In our little boxes with our envelopes, we get these unusual looking ones that say special offerings. Today is Human Relations Day in the United Methodist Church nationwide. It is one of six special Sundays in our church. Celebrated on this Sunday, just before Martin Luther King Jr.'s Day, United Methodist Church around the U.S. and Puerto Rico collect special offerings to support social justice at work at grassroots level. God calls us to do justice wherever we are. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, as told in the book of Luke, a priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan see a man stripped, beaten, robbed, half dead on the side of the road. The priest and the Levite raised the question, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? The Samaritan, on the other hand, asked, if I don't stop to help this man, what will happen to him? These two questions are ever before the United Methodist Church. They challenge us daily, and God calls us to respond. Will those on the side of the road know us as a church that passes by on the other side? Or Will they know us as the church that provides outreach programs and that it takes the risk to heal their wounds? Human Relations Day encourages us to be at the hands and feet of Jesus and stay on the side of those whom others choose to forget. So please put a little bit of offering, a little bit of love in our special offering envelope today or next Sunday. Thank you.
Thank you, Suzanne. We really appreciate the inspiring message, and yes, it is good to think of your fellow man. One more announcement. I'm glad to see you, Jim, and we're so glad to have you back and that you're feeling better, and that, Sue, you're back and you're feeling better. We've missed both of you, and we just praise God for your health being restored.
Okay. I have one, if you don't mind. Thank you. You'll see in your bulletin that you listed, I listed my friend Terry Eisenman. She was going to be our guest speaker today and bring us a Haiti presentation and was going to do the children's message. She lives about 3 hours away, and we made a decision before we really knew exactly how much snow we were going to get, whether she should travel or not travel, and decided she could come another day. And so she is not here today, and I've put a message together, so there are a few changes in your bulletin, but I did want you to know that Terry will not be here. The plan right now is February 10th. We'll see what the weather holds up for that. It is winter. She does have a truck, but, you know, we weren't sure and said we're right on that borderline, you know, and we were trying to make decisions on Friday because she was going to come tomorrow, or yesterday on Saturday, and so she is not here. She will come and bring us Haiti news. Unfortunately, they were supposed to be going to Haiti on February 6th. Sorry, February 6th. My brain's still not quite there sometimes. And they have had to cancel because of the uprising in Haiti. They're not going to be able to make their Haiti trip this year. The team is very disappointed. And gas is $10 a gallon. So we should not complain when we have gas at a couple bucks. Even $4 would be better than 10. So for safety reasons, so I said, Terry, you can come anytime. So I wanted you to know that as well. Also, I think we have had a water issue here this morning. That was some of the conversation that was going on this morning. I had my phone here ready to give it to Bobby if we've been talking with the city. No, you're fine. But we don't have any water. And so there's not coffee. There's none of that. There are gallon jugs in the restrooms so that if you need to wash your hands or flush the toilets or whatnot, that is in there just to let you know. And I'm sorry, but if you really have a bathroom issue and you need to leave, I fully understand. We're working on it, and hopefully it's going to get better soon. Let's praise the Lord.
Okay, yes.
Let's worship.
Let's praise the Lord.
All right.
Okay.
Birthdays
and anniversaries. Do we have any birthdays this week coming up? Anybody? No one's willing to admit to that.
I was going to say, there is. Right, Miss Katie? Yeah. What date? Yeah, I was going to say, I knew it was like, I can't remember. All right. Any others? Yes.
Okay.
Sarah had a birthday Thursday.
Sarah had a birthday Thursday, and we know another young lady that has a birthday coming. She, all right, on the 24th, Pastor Sue. Okay.
See. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, God bless you.
Happy birthday to you.
And many more.
Yeah, and many more, yes. And anniversaries. Is anyone celebrating another year of marriage this coming week?
Yeah, I don't think we had anybody on the...
No, not right at this time. Okay. Well, we're please stand and join us in our prayer songs. There are two of them, and the first one is number 2270 in the Faith We Sing book. It is called He Has Made Me Glad, and we will sing it two times through. Following that, we will sing 2145, I've Got a Peace Like a River.
Glad?
Yes.
Well, then let's see it in your faces. You guys all need to be up here. Really? And look up. All right. I got peace like a river. Standing for our call to worship, and the congregation, please respond in the boldface type. The Lord is good.
His love is eternal,
and his faithfulness lasts forever.
Come, let us worship our generous God with songs of praise and prayers of thanksgiving. Please join us in our first hymn here, number 715 in our hymnals, Rejoice, the Lord is King.
Thank you.
may be seated.
Ask Tom Froner and Russ Shoemaker to come forward, please. We have a special presentation.
So I asked Pastor Sue several weeks ago if we could do this morning, and she agreed, and we are very grateful for her for that. But I want you to know that the United Methodist Men have been an organization in Sandusky since, like, I think 1955, where we received our charter. And we have been functioning since then. And it's been the last few years, because of changes and because of some of us growing older, the United Methodist Men have kind of not done as much as we did at one point in time. But we're here this morning to tell you that during the time that we've been functioning here, we have one person that we would like to recognize this morning, and that is Ron Payne. He has been our force. He has been our president more often than not. He has been our leader. He has done more for the United Methodist Men than anybody else that I could personally know. And let me tell you that it wasn't just here. Ron was also what was called our zone shepherd. And he went to all the district meetings that tied us together, you know, with our district and our functions. He was very instrumental in our potato project money, which we are still doing. I still have a whole bunch of pennies in the bank at home. And I want to tell you also that, you know, does one man make a difference? You know, we're all in this together. We all work together to do our thing. And, you know, we say nobody's irreplaceable, and that's all true, except Ron. Ron has been our force. I already told that to Marilyn, and she knows. In fact, Marilyn, when she joined the team, I don't know if she knew what she was getting into, because Ron was so busy doing stuff for the church, doing stuff for the Methodist Men, going to meetings, and you know what? She supported him all the way. And the Methodist Men know that behind every good man is a good woman, and we appreciate Marilyn and her support for that also. But just as one short example, let me tell you one thing, and this is just a minor thing compared to the total scheme. Ron was our force behind the chicken barbecues that we had forever and a day. We had them for over 30 years. And I want you to know that during that time, and this is a conservative figure, and this is only one project, we raised and donated over $30,000 to local groups here at the church, to district projects, whatever. And Ron is going to be the first one to tell you, I didn't do it all. And Ron didn't do it all. But Ron led us through all that stuff, and we really appreciate. And we're going to give him a little token of our appreciation here this morning. And I got him here today to tell him he was going to give a talk, but he's not going to give a talk.
Good.
He might give a little talk, but Tom's going to tell you a few more things while Ron opens his gift about our relationship with Ron.
Ron, I'm sure you have a very good talk planned for us today, but I'm really sorry you just can't give it. We really appreciate everything you've done for the United Methodist Men, and I think that little plaque says it all.
Yes, it does. It says, presented to Ron Payne, in appreciation of your years of dedicated leadership and service to the Sandusky chapter of the United Methodist Men, January 20th.
2019. Thanks, guys. And now I am going to pray for you, Ron. So I'm glad Marilyn's up here with you. Let us pray.
Okay.
Gracious and loving God, we thank you for Ron's dedication to the work of the Lord, to the work of our United Methodist Men here in Sandusky at First United Methodist Church, and for his wife, Marilyn, for all that she has done and supported him and helped him and assisted. We give you praise that this team works together. We ask, Lord, that you continue to bless him and Marilyn, and we ask, Lord, that you just bathe him with your love and as well as your blessing. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for all you've done. Thank you.
just like to say it's going to be a long time before I take Russ at his word anymore.
Thank you very much. Yeah, might be, yeah. And while they're going down, we're going to have the children come up. And this morning has been kind of crazy with our water situation and all. And so the kids were singing downstairs, and I said, would you do that in church for us? So these older ones, I'm going to have you younger ones sit down, and why don't you older ones come up, and Miss Erin's going to lead you, I think. I'm going to come down so I can see and hear. Oh, they know it. Okay, so you guys can come stand up here too. Okay, so you guys stand up because I hear you know this song too because you've been in children's time downstairs in Sunday school. All right, we're going to do Jesus. Is that what it's called, Jesus?
Who's the king of the jungle?
Who is the king of the jungle? You guys can stand up and do that. All right. I'm going to come sit over here. I think we'll just hold the mic here. How's that? All right, you want to sit with me? Or you can stand up and do the motions. Okay?
Who's the king of the jungle? Ooh, ooh. Who's the king of the sea? Bubble, bubble, bubble. Who's the king of the universe? And who's the king of me? Who's the king of the jungle? Ooh, ooh. Who's the king of the sea? Bubble, bubble, bubble. Who's the king of the universe? And who's the king of me? His name is J-E-S-U-S. Yes, he's the king of me. He's the king of the universe, the jungle, and the sea. Bubble, bubble, bubble. He's the king of the jungle. Ooh, ooh. He's the king of the sea. Bubble, bubble, bubble. He's the king of the universe, and he's the king of me. He's the king of the universe, and he's the king of me.
Yay! All right, you guys can have a seat right there. Let poor Erin through. Good job. And they were doing Father Abraham. They were doing all kinds of exercises this morning. And I said, Erin, if I joined you, I wouldn't be able to brief or do the sermon. So I just watched. So who is the king of the jungle? Jesus. Who is the king of Sandusky? Jesus. Who's the king of your life? Jesus. So he's over all the universe. He's over all of you, right? All of me, right? So what does that mean? What does it mean to be king over you and I? Got any ideas? He's the ruler. Okay, that's a good one, Bree. You know other thoughts? He kind of guides us, doesn't he? Does he bring us peace and comfort sometimes? Brings us healing, helps us through hard times. Brilliant. You want to preach today? She's got all the answers today. That's good. He is the king of our lives. And so are we to follow him or ignore him? Follow. Follow, follow, follow. Absolutely. So are you guys ready to do that? Ready to follow Jesus? Yeah? Yep. Yeah. Good. I have children's bulletin, but you know where I left them? Riley, do you want to, or Adeline, you want to go? They're right up there behind. You'll see them. I actually have them this week. So we're going to pray, and then she can pass those out for me, okay? Let's pray. God, we thank you for being king of the universe, king of the jungle, king of our lives. And we thank you for these young children who are here, who love you and are ready to learn and grow with you. So continue to guide each one of us that we may learn. In the name of Christ, amen. Amen? Everybody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so there's a bulletin. We're going to talk today about Jesus turning water into wine. And so that's what's in your little bulletin. And you can color and do search and find and all that good stuff. So you can go back to your seats. And now I have to see if I can get up off the floor. All right.
Seats, and we do have to say thank you. Who's the king of the jungle? Who's the king of me? Jesus. And that leads us right into our presentation by our chancel choir entitled Precious Lord. indeed, Lord, take our hands and lead us along your path. As our choir makes their way to our seats, we want to thank them for their beautiful presentation and just leads us into our Old Testament reading, which is Psalm 36, verses 5 through 10. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your judgments are like the great deep. You save humans and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. O, continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your salvation to the upright of your heart. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word. And now you may remain seated. We're going to sing Sanctuary, number 2164, and we will sing that through twice.
Let us go to our Lord in prayer. Lord, we do hope that you prepare our hearts, that we can come before you humbly, praising your name and thanking you for all that you do, for your healing hands, for your mighty acts, for your wonderful guidance and leading, for the comfort and peace that you bring to us. Oh Lord, how precious is your name. As we come to you as a church, Lord, you know those that we have named and those that are silent in our hearts. We ask that you be with each one of them, to rejoice with birthdays, to bringing peace for lost loved ones. For those who are suffering, we pray, Lord, for that peace that passes all understanding, for doctors' discernments and guidance, that they can know and have that discernment to know what is needed. For surgeries that lie ahead, we pray, Lord, for your complete guidance and healing and recovery. And for those that are on the mission trip in our conference or in our district, we pray that as they're in Puerto Rico, they are, God, your hands and feet to all of them as they are on this mission trip, and that you will bring them safely home this week. For any others that are traveling, we pray for safe travel as well. Lord, we come before you. And you say, ask for anything. And right now, Lord, as a church, we're asking for water to unfreeze those pipes that we can have water once again very quickly here. And for those that are doing and assisting and helping with that, that we get the right direction. But Lord, most importantly, we ask that you guide us spiritually. We can laugh when we say we need water, but there's many places that don't. And they can't think of even spirituality, maybe, because they're hungry. But we need you, Lord, all of us in all of this universe. You are the King of the universe, and we pray that you will bring food to those that are hungry, and in all of us, that spirit that touches our lives in a way that we can touch others and help others, even through our human relations offering today, that we can be a vessel and an opportunity to help those who are in need and have justice displaced or placed on them, that they can be righteous in your eyes and righteous in ours. Help us not to judge, but to hand over our lives to you, that you truly are the King, truly are the one who leads us and guides us and the one who brings us salvation. So we give you our lives once again this day and ask that you bless it. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray together by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This morning you had in your bulletin that we were going to read Philippians 4:4-7. But instead, we're going to read the Gospel of John. So I encourage you to turn to John, chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. This is the story that John brings to us on water, Jesus turning water into wine. Hear these words. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, They have no more wine. Woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, Do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, Fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. Did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you saved the best till now. What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord. And now may there be less and less of me and more of you. These things I pray. Amen. In our scripture this morning in John, we hear the story of Jesus turning water into wine in Cana of Galilee. We visited Cana. We were there. It's a little less than 10 miles from Nazareth. What I remembered from 20 years ago was not quite the same as what I saw this time. I think they probably just built more of a building over where I may have been. And the water jars, those clay water jars, I don't know if you've seen them before, they stand, you know, like this tall, holding 20 to 30 gallons of water, and also used for ceremonial cleansing, but this time, water being changed to wine. In the Gospel of John, we hear this story, but in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they don't go into detail and talk about the wedding at Cana. And in this particular version, and in most of the versions, in John, he uses the word sign, where we know this as Jesus' first miracle. First miracle. We hear the words, "Woman, why do you involve me? My hour has not yet come." In our language, could sound rather rude. I don't know how you interpreted it, how you thought of it as I read it, but it kind of has that interpretation. But that is our translation and version that we have. But in that day and time, he was not being rude to his mother, who, if you noticed, wasn't named here, just it's Jesus' mother. We know her as Mary. He wasn't being rude. He was simply asking the question, and I can't remember the actual translation of that, but it was saying that his time had not come for him to be noticed, because last week we just had him baptized. This week is his first miracle. It's actually the beginning of his ministry. And so he's saying, it's not my time yet. And Mom, do we all listen to Mom? Mom says, yes, it is. It's time, dear son, that this is where you are able to show that you are the Son of God. And so that's kind of the translation in the comments that are being made, that when we read it, we say, boy, that was kind of rude. It really isn't. It was an interpretation, a translation from the Arabic or Hebrew into our language today. And so his mom has really kind of given him that nudge. It is time. Mary had heard from the angels. She knew her son was the Son of God. And here it is. Your ministry is now going to begin. Now, it's interesting on here that it says on the third day, there's a wedding at Cana of Galilee. On the third day. When they had a wedding in that culture, the weddings actually went about 7 days. They didn't necessarily go on honeymoons like what we have, but they would have a celebration through that whole time. And it was for the families of who the host family was, the ones that the wedding party, they were supposed to be able to host and have all the necessary needs fulfilled. That included wine. We also have to remember in that culture and day, you know, we're not talking, you know, hopefully we don't take this out of context that we're supposed to have a lot of wine at our weddings today. And that, you know, if it runs out, let's, you know, have a miracle and fill 30 gallons or more. That's not what it's about. It's about their water wasn't good and they normally had wine to drink. But it was a 7-day occurrence and this is 3 days. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, was concerned for the family because this could actually be a crisis for those who are hosting this celebration. They do not want them to be put in shame. They do not want them to be embarrassed. Oh my goodness, how could we have run out on the third day? And so before that crisis occurs, Mary is noticing what's happening and she's asking her son, you know, will you please change this water, save this family's face so that they are not put to shame, and turn more water into wine that they can have wine to drink. You'll see in the rest of the text, they say the master of the ceremony or the wedding party has said, you know, normally we have all the good wine out first, and then they give the cheaper wine, and you made the best wine. Well, we have to look at this text and not just read it as it is, but interpret what it actually is. 3 days, what happened to Jesus after 3 days? He raised from the dead. Who is Jesus but the water of life? And when he turned this water into wine, it was also saying that it was the richness of himself. As we celebrate Holy Communion, it represents his body and his blood that is poured out for us for the forgiveness of sins. So it's really saying and telling us who Jesus Christ is. At the very beginning of his ministry, look, people, we want you to know who this is. This is God's Son. This is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the Messiah. And he is the one that is going to bring us salvation. He is the one that is going to make us righteous and give us a kingdom in heaven. Also can be kingdom here on earth. And so there's a lot to read into this passage, the scripture. And the servants, they filled those water jars, those ceremonial cleaning, which is what they use for ceremonial, that they filled them to the brim. So here's a ceremonial jar that they use. So now, as they have the wine, they're going to become also cleaned through that wine, and is filled to the brim because God wants us through Jesus Christ to have a life that is abundant, to be filled completely to the brim and overflowing. And so it's a representation, it's symbolic here for our lives today, that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we can be filled not just with wine, but we can be filled with his body, his spirit, his love, abundantly, so that we can be his hands and feet, that we can do ministry in his name. And then the very last part of this scripture, we see that he is revealed to his disciples. And what does the very last line say? They believe in him. Jesus wants us to use our knowledge of who he is, filled with the Holy Spirit, that we can share with others of who Jesus is, that he is the Almighty, that he has raised from the dead after 3 days, and he has poured out his body and his blood for you and I for the forgiveness of sins, and he has given us the Spirit to now go and share that good news that Jesus Christ is alive. And that we are his hands and feet, that we can share his ministry with others and to help others believe in him. Well, believe in him, right? And so the disciples, they were just called. So in between last week and this week, when he was baptized and now he's starting his ministry, Jesus called his disciples. He's calling you and I now. Come, and if you heard the words that the servants were in the house at the wedding at Cana, they too listened. He told them, fill the jars with water. Secondly, draw it out. And third, take it to the master. And immediately they did so. They followed. So there's a call, there's a following, and here we are. We believe in Jesus Christ. Now go and share that good news with others. I thought about it, and I'm like, yeah, he's giving us instructions for today, not just for the wedding. He is giving us instructions. I want you to believe in me. I want you to understand that I am, perfect song for today, King of Kings, King of the Universe. I am God's Son. And I want you to give me all glory and honor. In some of the commentaries, they would say, they call this chapter, they call this section, the Cana Grace. That grace was given to all the people at the wedding. Now, a lot of them talked about how many things can go wrong with a wedding. Have you ever been to a wedding and something's gone wrong? You know, there's always something that goes wrong. As a pastor, there's always something that goes wrong with the wedding. Of course, this is the reception part, but in one of my in one of my stories that I had read, one of the pastors called the bride the wrong name through the whole ceremony. This was just at least wine. But it's symbolic for you and I today that we understand the text, that this is the beginning of his ministry, and he's calling all of us that are servants. Are we not all servants? Go and do this. Go in my name that others may believe. Go and do ministry that others may know who I am, that I am the King of the universe, that I am the Lord of lords, King of kings, that I am the Messiah, and others will believe. So what do you and I need to do for that? How do we at Sandusky First United Methodist Church go out and tell others about Jesus Christ? Most of us are scared to death to do that, aren't we? Are you afraid to go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others? Most people would say, yes. John's shaking his head, no, I'm not. I'm ready to go. Let's go. But what it really is this was a party. It's a celebration. Jesus wants us to celebrate. And what happens at weddings, especially nowadays, you know, when I was married, you had cake and punch. Nowadays, there's the meal. There's a feast, right? I imagine at this time in this culture, there was a feast. So we eat together, right? So you go and you share a meal with somebody. You go to one of our restaurants here and you sit down with somebody. You invite them and you share how Jesus has done in your life. Tell them a story. Tell them, you know, Jesus has touched me in a way. And you share what that is. That's sharing the good news of just sharing your own story, your own personal story, because people don't want to be preached to. Let's face it, you know. You go over and go, well, this chapter and this verse says da-da-da-da-da. People's going to turn their ears off, right, for the most part. But if you say, you know what Jesus did in my life, and you let them know a story, They are willing. I want to know who this Jesus is. I want to know more about him. And so that's how we begin to do our ministry. So maybe you're not in leadership. Maybe you are in leadership. But maybe you're a little nervous about going out. You know, our women go out on Wednesdays, whether it's McDonald's or Dairy Queen or Bob Evans, wherever we decide to go. This month is Dairy Queen, just so you know. Don't get confused. 9 o'clock on Wednesdays. And when I first started going, and I said, I need to go back to the office. I need to go to the office now. And, you know, it's kind of like, well, yeah, you need to go to work. And I wanted to say, and I did say, I'm at work. I'm at work. To go and sit and have a meal with somebody, or coffee, or I drink tea, whatever it is to be in ministry, to share what's going on. In fact, sometimes I think there's more ministry that happens at McDonald's than happens anywhere else in the church. I'm serious. The Red Butterflies go out on Monday, first Monday of the month. That's coming up pretty soon. And you know what we do? We eat. Isn't that great? Any of us women can come. 11:30, first Sunday of the month, and you got to call the office to where it is. And we eat. But you know what then happens? We talk. And we share what's going on in our lives. And what's going on in the church. And guess what? Ministry is happening. So when you see me at the restaurant, I'm doing ministry, folks. Just want you to know. Well, maybe Sunday after church. No, you know, when I go Sunday after church, that usually because we're talking church. Ministry can happen every time, but it comes around gatherings of people, and it comes around usually food. We're really good at that. We all like to eat. The thing we need to do when we're doing that is give God the glory. We need to make sure that we know that this is praise and thanksgiving to God our Father through Jesus Christ, His Son. And that we believe in Him and we want others to hear. We want others to hear. You know, we get pretty loud at McDonald's. And we laugh a lot and we have fun. If you haven't come, you can come. Guys, come and join us. I don't care. We're doing ministry. And yes, we want people to hear. We want people to hear at Dairy Queen. We're from First United Methodist Church and we're proud of it. And we're sharing ministry. Come and join us and hear about this man named Jesus. That's what God wants us to do today. Go and share in His ministry. Are you willing? Are you ready? Let's pray. God, you gave us your first miracle to begin your ministry. Well, every day is a miracle when you give it to us. And we thank you for it. We thank you for all that you do in and through us. May we continue to do your work and give you honor and glory in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Would the ushers please come forward? And if you do not have your special offering envelope that was in your box today, you can bring it next week. Lord, we ask that you bless these gifts that we have brought to you, that they may be used to further your kingdom and honor your name. In the name of the risen Christ, amen. We will close with, what a friend we have in Jesus. As you go forth this week, may you be blessed. May you take a friend with you and share a meal and honor God. Go now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And before you go, I just want you to know that Jim and I will be traveling to Texas. And we have Penny Nunn, who is on call, and Jerry Griggs. Mary has all those numbers, and we will be back on February 3rd. So if you need anything, call Mary Ball. Thank you.